Ahoy, mateys. Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike. With me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Arr!
Today is May 25th, 2013, and this is episode 29. A new challenger appears, the Xbox One reveal event. So, as you probably know, being the savvy, handsome, beautiful, majestic, brilliant folks out there in Radioland that all of our listeners are, Microsoft announced the new iteration of their successful Xbox line of consoles. Come with us now as we journey into mystery. By which I mean Microsoft's aforementioned Xbox event. But first, let's take a look at the news and a few updates in on some of our recently visited and revisited topics. Slagkick, would you like to start this one off for us?
Last time we talked about Yakuza 1 and 2 HD. That will be coming out on Wii U on August 8th. Of course, Japan only so far.
Boo.
Appears to be compatible with off-TV play, so...
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the screenshots. It looks really good. It looks like a pretty competent port.
Yeah, I agree.
Excellent. Next one up is something that we talk about here on GameBuoy podcast.
Basically every other episode.
Yeah, right? We finally have a release date for the virtual console release of the Game Boy Color's Shantae by WayForward. That'll be releasing on the 3DS virtual console via the eShop on June 20th.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm, like, super, super stoked about this.
I mean, we've got DuckTales coming out this summer, so lots of WayForward stuff to enjoy.
Hashtag Year of WayForward.
Apparently so.
Also, you know, another one I want to talk about is that in, I just heard something break in the other room. Someone's getting a little tipsy.
It's Space Pirate Ben.
It must be. Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate is adding another Virtual Fighter character. This is really exciting to me. One of the coolest things, in my opinion, about Dead or Alive 5 in the first place was that it had the crossover cameo characters from Virtual Fighter. And now, in addition to the characters that were already in the game for the Ultimate iteration, which is going to be launching in Japan on September 5th, they're also adding Jackie Bryant.
Cool.
Let the record state that I was staring at Slagkick, waiting for him to comment.
I don't have much to say about Dead or Alive, so
if you're familiar with these series, they're also adding the character Ein to this iteration. So
I'm just a little disappointed that it's not Ein the dog from Cowboy Bebop. And speaking of anime crossovers, we talked about the Puzzle and Dragons X rebuild of Evangelion collaboration. They are adding Kaoru to that lineup, and of course it's limited time Japan only, so of course Japan gets everything cool and we don't.
Yeah, I am really still very super bitter about this, especially now that they've added Kaoru to the sort of stable or roster of monsters, because Evangelion 3.33 gave me so many Kaoru feels that I'd never had in the entire history of Evangelion. And that's all I'm going to really talk about here, because I know we're not anime buoy, but really bummed that we don't get this content in the version of Puzzle and Dragons that we have here in the U.S.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Another follow-up for you regarding the Capcom Arcade Cabinet download that is available on Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network. The Super Mega Pack, which is, of course, not what they call it. They call it the All-in-One Pack or something, is now available for download. You may recall that previously all of these games had sort of a staggered release via in-game DLC at the game's main menus. But now the $30 pack, it looks like, is available, which includes Black Tiger, Avengers... not to be confused with the Marvel Comics Avengers, of course. 1943, Battle of Midway, Ghosts and Goblins, Gunsmoke Section Z, Sidearms Legendary Wings, Trojan Commando, the Speed Rumbler, X's, 1942, Sansan, and Pirate Ship Higemaru. In addition, it unlocks two secret games, which are 1943 Kai and Volgus.
I want to play the Pirate Ship game.
Yeah, I think I might have to download this as soon as we're done recording today.
So, Firaxis put out a new Civilization V Brave New World trailer, which shows more about the policies and ideologies, which are a new thing, because they're kind of trying to focus on making the cultural victories and such more
nice.
Compelling. So, check that out if you're a Civ fan, and of course, that'll be available July 9th, so not too long from now.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if communities for podcasts are a thing on Steam or not, but if they are, we should probably make one, because I'm going to be playing Civ 5 like every day when this expansion comes out. I already play Civ basically every day. Like, I literally just played it on, like, Wednesday. So, yeah.
That is a thing, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, then, yeah, we'll come back
to make a game to the Steam community. Anyway, Phoenix Wright Trilogy HD is going to be an iOS pack on May 30th.
Oh, yeah?
It was actually supposed to be out last fall.
Last fall, yeah, I remember that. I feel like we talked about it, but maybe not.
Well, seeing that this is a follow-up, we probably did. Otherwise, we talk about Phoenix Wright quite a bit, so...
We do. We talk about Phoenix Wright all the time.
It'll be $17 for the bundle, or $6 for the first game, and $7 each for the other two.
Oh, wow. Well, I will probably buy that, despite already having all of these games, because I love this series.
$17.
That's a lot of money. No, it's totally not. Not for games of that quality. So, we have another tease from Sega regarding Sonic Lost World. Posted by Sega's Facebook page, they uploaded an image of the previous Sonic Lost World teaser image, but now they're in the foreground are the silhouettes of, I don't know how to describe them, but six characters that all look really pointy.
Yeah, and we initially thought that they were all villains, but the caption apparently said, "Six will rise from the Lost World. Are they friends or foes? Find out on May 29th. See, I thought that one of them looked kind of like Charmy the Bee or whatever the armadillo was from the Chaotix.
I will be kind of thrilled if they bring back characters from Chaotix, because that game doesn't get nearly enough love. Even though it's kind of awful.
It's kind of weird. We maybe should have talked about it last week, but...
I don't know if it was... No, it was that bad. It was that bad. You're right. We should have talked about it last week.
It was 32X. 32X in its entirety should have been talked about last week. So yeah, that'll be exciting to see more coming out about this collaboration between Nintendo and Sega.
Yeah, you know, the most exciting thing to me about this is that they also said that on May 29th, we're going to be getting sort of an information blowout on this. So by the next time we record this show, we're probably going to have a full info blowout on Sonic Lost World.
That kind of makes me wonderful see a mini Nintendo Direct on Sonic.
Well, you know, when the game was announced at the last Direct, Iwata-san had said that we'd be finding out more about this at a future Nintendo Direct. So if we're going to be getting more information on the 29th, there are quite a few people out there in internet land that think maybe we're going to see another Direct.
It wouldn't surprise me.
So, my fingers are crossed. I'd really, 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 really like to see another Nintendo Direct before E3.
So, this is kind of cool. We had talked about Nintendo having smaller E3 panels instead of doing their big keynote. One of those is apparently going to be a Pokemon company, Pokemon X and Pokemon Y developer discussion. It will be a presentation and Q&A with Pokemon Company's president, Tsunekazu Ishihara, and Game Freak director, Junichi Masuda.
I live for you saying Japanese names.
So, of course, we're very excited. You know, October can't come soon enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really stoked for this game. Every time I think about it, I just get super, super excited. I cannot wait. And last for our follow-ups, but most certainly not least, Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, finally has a release date. The game will be launching worldwide on PC and PlayStation 3 on August 27th. They're going to be doing standard and limited edition versions of pretty much every combination that you could think. You know, PlayStation 3 Retail, PlayStation 3 Digital Direct, Windows Retail, Windows Digital Direct, all with variable pricing points, so please look into it.
I was going to say I already own the collector's edition of 14 Prime, but the Realm Reborn limited edition has box art by Amano-san and an art book. So,
well, you know, the funny thing is, in fact, I was just thinking about this. I have 14 original, so I don't need to buy a Realm Reborn. But I see that the collector's edition has a art book of art by Akihiko Yoshida-san, whom I'm a huge fan of. Obviously, you're probably familiar with his work on the Ivalice games, Tactics, and what have you. I need this book, so I'm probably going to shell out the $70 or whatever, because I need this so bad.
So basically, we're in the same boat, then.
Yeah. Different things, I think, are selling each of us on it, but... yeah, we're in the same boat.
I want the theme security token.
I bet you do. I bet it's something
like a Moogle. It's probably a Moogle.
I would rather a Chocobo or a Magitek armor.
It's a security token. I don't think it's going to be that complex.
I don't care. It's my favorite. Anyway, with that...
I think it's time for news. 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 Oh my god, news. Okay, so this first news item is actually a follow-up, but we already played the bumper, so sorry.
Sorry.
Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate is going to have a Kasumi and Momiji limited edition for $245. That's a lot of money. But here's all the stuff that you can get in it. Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate. Ultimate Sexy Costume Download Code.
Ooh.
Dead or Alive 5 Original Soundtrack Volume 3. Apparently not 1 or 2, though.
Lame.
A B2-sized poster. So a little guy. A Kasumi-chan blue 3D mouse pad.
Oh, girl. Are you familiar with these 3D mouse pads?
Well, it's like with the wrist cushioning, right?
Yep, except in the shape of their boobicles.
Oh.
I just want to say, I mean, I make joke about this, but I actually think this is sexist. It's sexist and super gross.
Yeah. Well, it's Dead or Alive. That's pretty typical. Kasumi playing cards, Kasumi life-size tapestry, Kasumi bath poster.
Do they mean like a poster of her in the bath, or like a poster for your bath?
I think it's a poster for the shower. Oh, here we go. A Momiji Red 3D mouse pad.
Oh, so is this the Momiji box now? Or are they one box?
Apparently, from what I gather, it's a bundle.
Wow. So that's all kinds of Kasumi and Momiji love.
Momiji playing cards, Momiji life-size tapestry, Momiji bath poster, idol, costume cover. Okay, here we go. So Silicon Era says that the Kasumi-chan blue and Momiji... I mean Kasumi-chan blue and Momiji red. They mistyped it. Bundle is $245, but each one separately with the Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate will be $163. And I'm sorry, this is obviously not translated, but exchanged prices for yen, but, you know. I'm guessing that most of you don't know what yen is worth off the top of your head.
I don't think that's a safe bet. I think probably we have some listeners who do.
I'm saying most...
Our listeners are awesome.
I know, but I don't know yen exchange rates off the top of my head, so if you told me that it was 24,990 yen, I might be like, oh, what is that? Anyway, let's move on to the actual news.
The World Ends With You live remix is live. No, you know, pun intended, but by the time you've heard this, if you have an Android phone, you should be able to go onto your game provider, the Google Store or whatever the heck it is, and get The World Ends With You live remix. This is, of course, a multiplayer version of The World Ends With You that is made by Gree in support with Square Enix.
It sounds kind of cool. I mean, you know, for a social game.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of World Ends With You, so if I had an Android, I'd probably check it out. I'll have to wait and see if an iOS version comes out at some point. We'll see.
Yeah. So, you'll have to tell me if I'm saying this wrong. Guilty Gear X...
You're already saying it wrong.
Guilty Gear X-erd.
No, it is actually X-erd.
Sign.
You're quite right.
Has been announced by Arc System Works.
Holy this is like crap.
Guilty Gear X, but with the RD like in third.
Yeah, it's the third Guilty Gear X game. They didn't want to call it Guilty Gear Triple X.
Or Guilty Gear X3.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think since the first one was Guilty Gear, then Guilty Gear X, then Guilty Gear Double X, they didn't want to go Triple X, so they went X-erd. I don't care, though, because the game looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks really good.
The big deal here, really, is that it's all cel-shaded 3D models that are rendered in such a way as to look like HD sprites, right in with the animations taking into account, like, choppy, like, frames of animation and stuff. It looks so crazy. There's a trailer up, and we'll post it on GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
Actually, more likely, we'll link Silicon Era's posting of it. But in any event, just watch it. Like, watch for yourself. If you have an appreciation for the Guilty Gear series, and if you like fighting games, you really should, you're probably going to be blown away by what you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, Street Fighter 4 did a pretty good job with the cel shading, but I mean, this looks like straight up just like a Guilty Gear game.
Well, I had sent images of it to several people and said, like, oh my god, new Guilty Gear. And they were like, oh, I'm so glad they stayed with sprites. And I'm like, LOL, but they didn't.
Yeah. Also on the Arc System Works tip, Blaze Blue Alter Memory.
But just the tip.
Will be an anime airing this fall, so I guess we are Anime Buoy now.
Yeah, you know, I actually saw a trailer for this already. It looks pretty good.
It's going to be adapted from Blaze Blue Calamity Trigger and has people from Full Metal Alchemist and such collaborating on it. It has people from the games involved. If you're more interested in that, Silicon Era's Link has a link to Anime News Network, so you can get on that.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed it doesn't have the characters from Chrono Phantasma, but I'll deal.
Also on the fighting game tip, Mortal Kombat Complete Edition has been confirmed for PC in July. Over on Joystick, they used a K for confirmed.
Yeah, I was just going to say, are you trying to, like, pronounce Ks?
I'm trying to emphasize the K. So, yeah, July 3rd is when you'll be able to pick up this complete edition of the 2011 reboot.
I am, you know, all joking aside, I'm actually really excited for this release. I will definitely pick it up. I liked the Mortal Kombat reboot quite a bit. I think we talked about that a little bit when we were talking about our fighting games episode. I thought that this series came back from the brink really well, so.
And it comes with all of the DLC, including Freddy Krueger. But one thing that might be a bit alarming is, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, did I mention that it was for PC? Yeah, I did, sorry. Now, the people handling this PC port is High Voltage Games, who are the people behind Kinect Star Wars.
To be fair, they've had some good games under their belt as well.
Yeah, apparently.
And it gives me an excuse to say, a danger! A high voltage!
How many Electric Six references are we going to make on one episode of Game Boy?
You can never have enough.
Yeah, apparently they put out an addictive puzzler called Zombies for iOS, and that kind of sounds adorable. Also on the fighting game tip, there's lots of fighting news this week. Skullgirls will apparently be coming to Japanese arcades. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm actually really stoked about this. You know, Skullgirls, I was just talking about this not that long ago. I really feel like that's an example of a game and community that, while I'm not super into it myself, I really feel like that community has pulled together to really support that game. They've, you know, they crowdfunded, like, a whole expansion's worth of new characters, basically. I'm really happy to see them getting some sort of recognition, and I think getting into the Japanese arcade scene is probably the next step there, so I'm really happy to see that.
I feel like you want to talk about this next one.
I do. It's actually why I included it in our show notes, even though, realistically, there's no reason for us to discuss it. I don't care. I'm excited. One Piece Unlimited World Red has been announced for 3DS. This happened, of course, on such a timeline that we should have talked about this last week. I even had it in my preliminary show notes, but I deleted it because why do our listeners care about a One Piece game that they'll probably never play? And I'm here to answer that for you by telling you that this is a freaking Monster Hunter clone. So you basically make a team of four characters from One Piece. The example used here on Silicon Era is Luffy, Sanji, Roronoa Zoro, and Tony Chopper fighting a gigantic dragon to hunt it. I'm super here for that. I love, love, love One Piece. I love, love, love Monster Hunter. If this game ever comes out in such a way that I can play it, I'm a buy it at a high price.
Are you going to import a 3DS if that's the only way to do it?
Maybe not just for this game, but we are getting to a point now where I'm having a hard time not importing a 3DS.
With the Super Couture Eevee one just hitting, you know.
Hot Couture!
And last but maybe least, Ninja Theory is going to be teaming up with Chillingo. Chillingo, I guess they're an EA subsidiary. I'm honestly not familiar with them. It's a iOS and Android free-to-play brawler called Fight Back. And it's kind of inspired by, like, 80s action movies.
So what you're telling me, basically, is that Ninja Theory went from the Devil May Cry reboot to mobile games with Chillingo.
All right.
It couldn't have happened to a better studio. I'm happy to see these guys continue to get work, and hopefully this free-to-play fighting iOS game will be super good.
And,
I don't know why I'm so negative today. I usually try to be super, super, super positive.
Well, I was going to say something about disappointing announcements, but first, we have a little schedule for all y'all.
Yeah, so I wanted to sort of take a moment before we get to our discussion. And I just wanted to go over with you guys Game Buoy's second annual one-stop pre-3 dates. Stop. That second stop is going to be shop in next year. So this is limited edition hearing for all y'all out there. So, just to give you a quick rundown of the conference schedule, Microsoft's conference is going to be June 10th at 9:30 a.m. That is, of course, Pacific Standard Time, as all of the following times will be.
Well, that's where the Game Buoy, SS Game Buoy sails, so.
EA's conference is going to be June 10th at 1 p.m. Ubisoft's conference is also going to be June 10th. However, it is going to be at 3 p.m. And wrapping it up for June 10th is going to be Sony's conference at 6 p.m., which, by the by, is the one I'm excited to see of that day. Because Nintendo is going to be doing a Nintendo E3 Direct on June 11th at 7 a.m. I am going to wake
up early. Yeah.
I am going to wake up early and probably go into work an hour late that day so that I can watch this entire direct, because I'm hoping it's going to be like 2 hours. It'll probably be an hour, but I'm hoping for two because it doesn't hurt to hope.
Yeah, and we will be talking about it on our second annual E3 blowout.
Indeed. So please look forward to that. You know, what, 2 weeks from now? 3 weeks from now? In any event, that's going to be our next episode of Game Buoy. We don't normally plan ahead so far in advance, but in this case, we have.
Unless there's something late-breaking that we just have to report on, but...
It seems
otherwise,
unlikely.
Look forward to it.
It seems unlikely, given this week's announcement, but... Why don't we dig into that right now?
If we must.
So, you know, as I mentioned, we this week are going to be talking about the Xbox One reveal
event.
Oh,
we're doing a retro episode?
No. In fact, you know, that's sort of the elephant in the room here. What do you think about that name? As you know, the new Xbox is called Xbox One.
Like... I don't really know what I could say about it that hasn't already been said. Yes, it's supposed to mean all-in-one. Yes, it makes us all think of the original Xbox. Insert X-Bone joke.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's really funny that the X-Bone moniker is the one that the mainstream media is reporting on. I just saw an article yesterday in the Financial Post discussing the X-Bone. And, of course, it led to lots on many gaming forums. It led to a lot of discussions about how fans are destined to be known as X-Boners. What do you think of the name?
I think of all the other possibilities that we heard. Of course, the big one being Infinity. I think there had been a little rumor about Xbox Fusion. Honestly, even 720 would have been better.
But that would have made for a great Xbox Fusion Frenzy game. I'm being facetious.
I think that, like a lot of what we have seen so far, it's very misguided.
Excellent. I don't really care for the name. I think it's probably one of the worst names they could have given it. I think it's really telling that they somehow found a name that will be more confusing to soccer moms than Wii U.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I don't know if there was a somewhat of a conscious decision to be like, oh, we're rebooting the Xbox brand with this console or something. I don't know.
I hate to be that guy. I hate to expect the worst of people and to assume that people are going to be uninformed. But I really, truly feel like there are going to be people who don't know any better going to GameStops and saying, oh, I need the new Xbox. And seeing 360 and thinking, oh, that's the highest number. That must be the newest one because 360 is way bigger than one.
Yeah, I mean, I have to wonder, I mean, because clearly this had to have come up in business meetings, like, oh, well, what if people confuse it? And then someone still approved it anyway, like, that was still a decision that was made, so I'd really like to hear about their justification of it. I mean, yes, I get it, all-in-one. I mean, they could have called it the A1, but then it would sound like steak sauce.
Steak.
No, I think... that, you know, people hated on the Wii U name, but this is just confusing, it's awkward.
Well, and let's be fair.
PS4 is the only new-gen console that really has a name that makes sense, because it's the fourth PlayStation.
Well, absolutely, and, you know, I'm actually going to bolster your point and say, you know, let's be fair, a lot of the early predictions about the Wii U title... causing problems for Nintendo absolutely came to pass. There has been a lot of market confusion about what the Wii U is because of its name.
All we have to do is think back to Larry Froom and his CNN article about the Wii U controller for the Wii console system.
Exactly so. Much like many people were initially confused about the Nintendo 3DS just being a normal DS but with a 3D screen, when in fact it's a new generation of that line of hardware. A lot of people don't realize that the Wii U is a new iteration in that line of hardware. And I cannot help but think that that may well happen to the Xbox line as well. People may seriously think, oh, one, Xbox One, that's below, that's under Xbox 360, right? 360's the new one, I guess. Like, I think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I don't like the name.
It'll be interesting if they try to retroactively re-release and rebrand the Xbox 360. I was just thinking about that. Like, if they just rebrand that as just the Xbox. And because, you know, we have had teases that at E3 there's going to be a big blowout announcement that's going to make the 360 relevant for several years yet. Maybe they're going to rebrand it as like a four kids option to the big brother Xbox One.
I can't help but wonder if we'll see something like the Family Edition Wii, or like a budget one with like a, I don't know. We'll
that's
see.
Sort of exactly what I was talking about. I think it's fairly likely this is getting into
Apple new iPad territory, which was another misguided decision. I feel
that way too. So,
and now the iPads, since the new iPads, have just been called iPad, right?
I think so. What do you think about TV? Because I know that we're not TV buoy, but you know, since 45 of those 60 minutes of this reveal event were devoted to TV, basically, I kind of feel like we should be talking about TV a little bit.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
Okay, apparently, you know, the Xbox One, and I'm sorry, I keep wanting to call it the X1 or the X-Bone. I saw this really super funny press kit from Microsoft that was basically telling, like, legitimate news outlets how they are and are not allowed to refer to the Xbox One. And so, kind of, I just want to be like, the X1, the X-Bone.
The One.
The One!
Which are apparently all no-nos.
Yeah, all no-nos, which makes me want to yes-yes them. So, basically, though, like, I guess you can pause it and then super seamlessly, super fast, like, oh, switch to TV mode, then switch back to game. Like, oh, I could be watching Price is Right, and then immediately be playing Forza, and then immediately be back to Price is Right.
Oh, then I can watch Star Trek, and then I can look up Into Darkness on snap mode.
And those were the actual examples used at the event. Which, by the way, how uninspired do you have to be to use freaking Star Trek Into Darkness in your event?
Oh, they clearly got paid for it.
They better have, because that movie was awful.
You know, the thing is that I'm not against TV functionality.
No, on a console, I think it's cute and good, but
we kind of saw the writing on the wall, I think, when, you know, that was, I mean, and we kind of seen it with the 360, it's turned into like living room entertainment system, and you've seen the way that Xbox Live and the Xbox menus itself have changed over the years to be more like, oh.
Yeah, I want to say this flat out. I've seen, and we're going to get to this a bit later, when we get to our feedback, but a lot of people are talking about how, well, this wasn't really the games announcement event, this was the tech announcement event and the feature set announcement event, but, I kind of think that you're all wrong, and I'm saying that now so that I'm not saying it to any of you as individuals during our feedback section, because I adore you all, I love that you all reached out to us, we had more feedback this week than we probably ever had before. But I just have to say, I disagree with you, I think that, no, E3 is where you're supposed to be advertising what the mainstream media is going to be reflecting the next day. That's where you're talking to the people at Best Buy about why they want to bundle your console with their HD TVs. That's where you want to tell people about your non-game functionality. Your conference that you're holding on a weekday during work hours that people are, like, cutting work or cutting school or, like, taking a long lunch to listen to. That's where you're selling to your hardcore people that really want to give you their money. So that's really where you need to be advertising to your core, by which I mean us.
I agree. Sorry, there was just some commotion outside the SS Game Buoy. That was surprising. We got some people ransacking the village, apparently.
Yeah, I got really sidetracked there.
No, but I agree. I mean, I think people are like, oh no, there'll be games, but clearly Microsoft is trying to push this as being more than games. And for someone who's like, oh, I only play a little bit of video games, but oh, I can use Skype while I'm.
Oh, it has an always on DVR. Cool. By the way, that DVR shares space with your games, and all of your games have mandatory installs.
That's okay.
So I hope you don't run out of disk space.
That's okay, because the Xbox One doesn't even have any games. Okay, we're being facetious, and we'll talk about that a little later, but...
So I had to address that. There's a lot of criticism that people who are expecting games were setting their expectations too high. And I just want to say I disagree. I think it's perfectly fair to expect a game console announcement to be announced with games.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I don't really think this is a game console. I think it's a TV box that plays games.
Yes, but I'm also fairly certain that if you were to go to Microsoft and tell them that, they would disagree with you.
Well, of course they would, because they want to please...
We need to pause this episode. Back. Sorry for the interruption.
I just had to take care of those, that rambunctious...
Marauding hoarders, yeah. Marauding hordes. No, how funny would that be? They're marauding hoarders. They're, like, taking everything in every house in giant sacks.
They're like, let's take this giant VCR. I thought it was an Xbox One.
Right?
And with that,
I'm gonna play my no games on it.
With that, should we talk about the hardware? Or, oh, there's one more thing on
there's
the TV
one more thing.
Tip.
They did announce something game-related. You'll notice I say game-related because they announced a Halo TV series. Do you have anything to say about that?
No.
Me neither, so let's move on. So let's talk a little bit about what we know about the tech. We know that this is a Jaguar base.
Oh, God, are you serious?
Not like the Atari Jaguar.
Oh, thank God.
About AMD's processor architecture chip. It is, 8-core, of course. It is a GPU tailored for DirectX 11.1 graphics.
Okay.
It has 8 gigs of RAM. But it's DDR3, though, not GDDR5 like the PS4 has. And my understanding, and this is unconfirmed, but my understanding is that only 5 gigs of that RAM is available to game developers, and the other 3 are devoted to TV stuff and operating system management.
That's not good.
Yeah, no, it's comparatively it's not good. 5 gigs of RAM is still like, what?! You look at these current generation consoles, they're working with like 512 megs of RAM.
Oh, yeah, but I'm thinking about it from a PC perspective.
Well, yeah, but PCs do a lot more than game consoles. But I guess this really goes to it's less of a game console and more of a set-top box with a PC. It's going to have a 500 gig non-upgradable hard drive. However, it will support USB hard drives and memory expansions in some capacity. So I do get very alarmist about it only having a 500 gig hard drive while also having DVR features. But in actuality, as long as you're willing to shell out for, additional space, it'll be cool. And that's something that applies to the Wii U as well. So let's not get it twisted. I do think that the Wii U in particular, and also the Xbox One, I keep wanting to call it Nextbox now, these guys definitely all have way too little memory for the way that digital distribution works these days, and file sizes of games on these Blu-ray discs, they can be pretty big. And last but certainly not least in terms of tech, because again, we're only talking about tech we know, and I'm not trying to talk to y'all about Kinect. Yes, there is a fancy new Kinect. It's quite nice if you're into that sort of thing. It can see infrared. It can detect some kind of bizarre, like, photons that are bouncing off of your skin. It can detect your heart rate. It can detect your facial expressions, even in the dark. So supposedly it can, like, use that information in correlation with your heart data to, like, confirm that this is this person.
So basically it's going to watch you doing your bedroom activities.
That is almost certainly a thing it's going to be doing. I'd also like to point out that Microsoft does have patents on technology to use exactly these kinds of information to track who's watching a movie that you've purchased in your own home to make sure that unlicensed people aren't watching movies on your hardware. There has been no discussion about these being applied. I don't want to get it twisted or mislead you. However, facts as facts, Microsoft does own patents to do exactly that.
That's very Big Brother. And I'm not talking about the reality TV show.
That often has some pretty good-looking guys on it.
Speaking of bedroom activities.
Anyway, the last tech point that I wanted to get to is new controllers. I think they look pretty all right. They do still run on AA batteries, which seems like a weird choice to me, rather than, you know, rechargeables that we've all gotten used to.
Right.
But no old controllers are supported, be they USB or otherwise.
I'm kind of not surprised. I mean, typically, that's the case almost always. I mean, yes, the PS3 did have the adapter for the old DualShocks, and obviously Wii U can use all sorts of Wiimotes and such, but I mean...
I'm not surprised, but I am disappointed because I really grew to like the Xbox 360 controller quite a bit.
I honestly never liked it at all. I mean, obviously it wasn't as bad as the Xbox One controller, by which I mean the first Xbox, not the X-Bone.
I like the X... Ha! Yeah, right?
The first Xbox, Xbox Prime, Xbox Zero, I don't know. But anyways, you know, Xbox controllers in general have always been clunky. I put up with the 360 controller for, you know, better performance of games over PS3, when the games were typically running better on 360 earlier on. And, you know, for exclusives, which I can't really think of too many actual exclusives.
Gears of War, that's about it.
Well, I mean, outside of stuff like Geometry Wars on the Live Arcade, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Maybe.
You know, I prefer the DualShock or, you know, any sort of PlayStation controller, so... I typically don't like bulky controllers. Obviously, you know... GameCube and N64 had very bulky controllers, but, you know, hopefully, my point is, I hope that it's a little more comfortable in the hands than a 360 controller.
I'm going to respectfully disagree, since I think that of current gen controllers, the Xbox 360 is the most comfortable in my hands. So, again,
you also have big hands, and I'm not trying to shade you on that.
Fine. I feel good about my manly big hands. So, I like the original Xbox controller, too, because I have gigantic hands. I don't care. So, yeah.
Something that's kind of upsetting for you is that you can't use your super awesome custom
arcade stick. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe I just won't get an X1, and that'll circumvent that.
Well, that's a very real possibility for both of us.
So, let's talk about games. And, actually, this
we're done!
Right? This is going to be short. Xbox did say that they had 15 exclusives lined up, and 8 of those are supposed to be new IPs, but for some reason they didn't show any of these. Possibly because they were busy talking about some Halo TV series at the reveal of their new console.
Or Xbox, show fantasy.
Xbox, go home. No, really.
Xbox, go home. You are drunk.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a super valid choice to make to reveal a new games console without talking about the games. I don't know. Maybe that's valid. Maybe. But, we had Forza, which looked just like Project Gotham, so apparently that's what Forza looks like now.
That's
less rally and more super tight street racing, I guess.
I haven't spent a lot of time with Forza, but that's not what I think about when I think of Forza. I think of, like, realistic car simulator.
You know, the Forza can be several different things, especially when I look at Forza Horizon, which I just freaking love. I think Forza Horizon is actually, like, a super legit great game.
It's pretty good.
I just looked at this new one. I was like, okay, well, the graphics are very pretty, but, like, the actual track they're racing on and stuff, like, please don't be indicative of the final product, because this looks really boring. Like, this does not look compelling at all. Except that it's very pretty. I guess there's people who
will
buy
it for that. Well, yeah, but Gran Turismo 7 is also going to be gorgeous, too. I mean, I'm just assuming there's going to be Gran Turismo 7.
Oh, for sure. Well, I'm sure 6, even on PS3, is going to be great.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying in terms of...
You're going to a next-gen place, and I'm saying that...
Current-gen, honestly.
Well, nearly, yeah. Oh, hey, they showed a live-action TV ad with awful acting for a theoretical video game made by the Alan Wake guys over at Remedy.
See, now, I'm hoping that that's not... Although, maybe, I was going to say, I'm hoping that it's not just live actors doing stuff and then interactive, but then it would be kind of like a Sega CD Night Trap sort of, like, game.
Yeah, I mean, this game, Quantum Break, it was called. It appears to be a game. That's all I can really tell you. There was some kid who was creepy, possibly had superpowers that could break reality. I don't know. I don't know.
So, I mean, like, I guess where I'm confused is that actually what the game's going to be like, or was it just commercial for the game?
I mean, I can't... Well, look, I don't mean this as any disrespect to the folks over at Remedy. I like your work a lot. I'm a huge fan of Alan Wake. That having been said, they're not making a game that looks like live action. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, unless it's just straight-up video clips being played, and then you have to, you know, make a choice, and then it plays another video clip. So basically a Blu-ray game.
Yeah, I mean, I hope...
And I don't mean like a Blu-ray video game. I mean like those games that come on Disney Blu-rays. It's like, go under the sea with the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I mean, I just... Look, if I'm coming off really negative, again, it's because my hopes, not my expectations, but my hopes, were fairly high. I had no reason to believe that Microsoft was not going to deliver. I have a great deal of faith in the folks over at Remedy. But, like, this, it did not even really look like a game. It just looked like a shitty made-for-sci-fi TV movie or something. Like, if you're going to do a game announcement that is mostly live action, could you at least get some decent acting?
Yeah, you know, I want to say that I've heard people talking about, like, clips they'd seen of this, but I might be thinking of something else.
Well, there was one clip in the announcement trailer. There's, like, one clip of, like, a bridge being torn apart that was obviously rendered in a game engine. So I assume that's what people are talking about. Maybe there have been additional trailers shown and I just haven't looked because I was so disappointed, but I'll have to look into that because I want to be informed. I'm just upset that they didn't show that at the conference. Like, literally, many of us went out of our way to see what was up, and this is what you had for us? Really? I don't know. There was also some EA Sports stuff, but it was all pre-rendered. Confirmed to have been pre-rendered. So, you know, EA was selling up this big new graphics engine that they have for their next line of sports games. And while talking about it as if we're watching footage that was in real time, this footage was not terribly impressive, even to people like myself who kind of do like sports. And later on, this footage was confirmed to be pre-rendered.
You know why I got confused?
Why did you get confused?
I remember people saying good things about the upcoming Quantic Dream game.
Oh, yeah, that is... Quantum Break is not something made by Quantum.
No, I'm aware of that, but... So I think people were talking about Beyond Two Souls, which also is very cinematic.
Yeah, except that's actually rendered in Engine, because it looks freaking amazing, and guys are geniuses.
And that's also a PS3 game. So sorry, Microsoft.
Yeah, well, look at what they did on even Heavy Rain. Like, that was a beautiful freaking game.
Yeah. And, you know, I was looking up Quantum Break to see what I could find out, and apparently, of course, this is off Wikipedia, so you take it with a grain of salt, but it says it will feature live-action videos blended with regular gameplay, so...
Awful idea. I think that this is a bad idea, especially if the acting is of the quality of what we just saw the other day.
And apparently there will be a Quantum Break television show.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
What's that new MMO that has a TV show?
Defiance.
Watch, that'll go free to play in a couple months.
To be fair, it's like, my understanding, I think, is that it's like Guild Wars, where it's buy to play.
Oh, you're right.
But you're right. My understanding is that the Defiance TV show is actually pretty good.
Actually, I've heard the Defiance game is pretty good, too.
That's awesome.
I was just trying to be shady.
Speaking
of shady...
Oh, yeah, they also announced Call of Duty Dogs.
Arr, arr.
I'm sorry. I mean Call of Duty Ghosts, now with a dog.
If that dog dies, I'm going to, like... I mean, I'm not... Like, the thing is, this isn't even exclusive, but if that...
Wait, you mean this game isn't exclusive? Then why did they show 10 minutes of it during their console reveal announcement?
Because of dogs, dog. You know, the
dog,
thing is...
Dog. Yo, dog, I heard you like dogs, so I put a dog in your dog so you can dog while you dog, dog.
You know, what they showed looks pretty good. I'm not a huge Call of Duty fan. I've kind of been wanting to look into Black Ops 2 because apparently it wasn't terrible.
I have Black Ops 2, and it's pretty okay.
Yeah, maybe we should load it up, bro.
Yeah, get it on Wii U. That's where I have it.
Yeah, but, you know, so Call of Duty Ghosts, I almost called it Call of Duty Dog. Call of Duty Ghosts looks pretty good.
To be fair, my show notes do actually list it as Call of Duty Dog.
I kind of want to play it because of the dog, I'm not going to lie. The thing is...
So is it going to break you? Is it going to devastate you when that dog dies?
If that dog dies, I'm going to throw an Xbox One controller out of the window. And I'm not even going to probably buy an Xbox One. So I'm just going to take someone else's Xbox One controller and break it. Because I wouldn't want to break my PS4 controller or whatever.
So this week for Game Buoy Extras... listener feedback, why don't you tweet at us with how likely you think it is that the Call of Duty dog is going to die? If you have a particularly funny or clever answer, we will definitely read it on the air. Frankly, even if it's not funny or clever, we'll probably read it on the air because we're desperate. So, you could probably just say, I think the chances of the dog dying are fart, and we'd probably read that on the air. Hashtag GameBuoy Extra.
Hashtag GameBuoy Extra. And then there's going to be a bunch of other stuff that is also going to be on PS4. And
now let's not get it twisted. That wasn't announced at the conference, but immediately after the conference, press releases went out from various publishing houses stating that, oh, their multi-platform games are releasing on Xbox One. So stuff like Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah, except I could play either of those on Wii U or PS4 or PS3.
I'll probably be playing both of those on Wii U and PS4.
But not PS3, because if I had it on a PS4, then it's kind of redundant.
Exactly so. Exactly so. And... one last thing, of course, we're sort of getting near the end. We obviously don't have a lot to say about this because Microsoft showed so fantastically little that's relevant to us. But I want to dig a little deeper into a couple of things, sort of a few controversies that have arisen after this event that people on the internet are talking about. And I sort of want to take a real nice, even-handed, where possible, view of things. I understand that if we probably sound exceedingly negative today. If this is your first episode of Game Buoy, I want to promise you we're usually a lot more constructive and positive than this. It's just we're very, very let down by what was on display last week. With that having been said, what do you think about this? Oh, that was awful. Let me start that over. What do you think about this always online kerfuffle?
That must have been the Call of Duty dog.
That was the Call of Duty dog dying.
Mm, I just thought he was playing with a squeaky toy, not maybe choked on it. That's what I have to say about the online connection.
It just got dark in her. Well, so we do know now that it will not require an always online connection, you know, as the rumors had gone pre-announcement. However, we know that it will require a persistent online connection of some sorts to perform checks on a recurring basis.
It's just, I mean, I understand that, like, oh, you know, they're trying to not say it's for, like, you know, anti-piracy or whatever, but it's clearly for anti-piracy. And, like, obviously this wouldn't affect me, And the thing is, like, I don't pirate games. I have an internet connection that's always connected. But the concept behind it, I just don't like. And I mean, maybe Microsoft's right to not trust people. But
maybe.
It just kind of seems shady and punishing for everyone else.
It does. Punishing is a good word for it. You know, I'm my primary concern is that here on the SS Game Buoy, we have had instances where our Comcast has gone down for more than a day. We live in this is sort of an old building that we're located in, that's recording studio is located in. So sometimes when things go really wrong, especially when things are really hot during the summer, and I guess fuse boxes or something blow or something. I don't know. That's not the kind of tech nerd I am. We do occasionally lose internet for days at a time. It bothers me. It really, really, really bothers me that potentially I could buy a video game, play it on this console, and then have my PlayStation interrupted because of no internet connection, and not be able to get back in until I have an internet connection.
Buy a new game, come home to find out that your internet connection is out, and you can't go online to do the unlock code for your X-Bone game.
Well, exactly so. And, you know, I've voiced some of these opinions on Twitter, and I've seen a lot of, like, legitimate voices in the games journalism community say things like, oh, well, people with concerns like that should be more concerned with moving into a nicer house or paying for better services than they should be for getting next-gen consoles.
And that's not inclusive.
And, like, I'm sorry, that is as exclusive as you can possibly be. Like, I guess have fun living in your white man ivory tower in Valhalla or whatever. But no, I'm sorry, in the real world, sometimes crap happens. It doesn't mean that I somehow am too impure to deserve owning an Xbox One that works. It means that they need to have a freaking flexible enough format that if I have a normal, reasonable, foreseeable issue with my internet connectivity, that I can still play the products I paid for to buy.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, sometimes they'll be like, oh, I just bought this game, and I already have to install an update, but... You know.
Yeah, but in most cases, the game will still, on a fundamental level, run without that update.
Right.
And that's really the difference. I don't really even have a problem with day one patches. I don't even really have that big of a problem. Like, someone was telling me with Steam. Oh, well, Steam has to handshake. It's like, dude, Steam has to handshake once every several days, which works for me, because I am usually at an internet connection within several days, even when the internet connection here dropped out for days. So that was cool. And again, with enough leeway, the Xbox One's setup maybe won't bother me so much. But the way it was currently packaged, and I believe the figure that they have since backpedaled on, the initial figure that they floated was 24 hours. They have backpedaled on that and have said that this isn't set in stone and they're still working out how this is going to work. But for now, that is simply not a workable number for me, and it's really upsetting and unsettling to me that I could go to a store, purchase a game, and not play it when I get home because I can't handshake online. And with Steam, if I'm buying a game digitally, obviously I have an internet connection to do the handshake. So that is sort of a false equivalency that people are floating about to defend the Xbox One that I don't really think applies completely.
Yeah. Can we talk about other... backpedaling?
Let me guess, you want to talk about the used games mess.
Well, they will have some way to do used games with GameStop.
In some context, we just don't really know the details. One scenario that was provided at the conference, although it has since been, again, backpedaled, was that after we utilize a game, we use its authorization code to lock it to our console... then we can give the disc to someone else or resell it, and they'll have to pay their own licensing fee to use it.
So Microsoft gets money, and then GameStop gets money for it.
And you got to pay for this game twice!
You could have just bought it new.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this at all. I think that this is an awful choice. Again, I see a lot of people comparing... this situation to Steam, like, oh, you can't resell Steam games, why would you expect to resell?
Isn't there a way to, I mean, maybe not specifically Steam games, but there's ways to...
There are services for reselling PC digital games. Certain regions overseas, not in the U.S., but certain regions require that to be possible. But my bigger concern is that most of my Steam games, because I have a massive Steam library, I have something like 160 games or something, I don't know, a lot, is that while I do have a lot of Steam games, most of them I paid $10 for, because that's where sort of my comfort threshold is for digital games, is sort of in the $10 to $20 or $30 range. I don't buy $60 games digital. I don't want to buy $60 games digital. With the, you know, the rare exception of, like, I bought a Wii U full game digital because it was the only way to get it. But I'd prefer not to. And I would prefer not to be paying $60 for a retail Xbox One game that I can't loan out to my partner, for example. We have our own consoles because we're both gamers and sometimes we both want to be playing a game at the same time. I don't want to have to... say, oh, here's my disc, but you can't play it on your console because you have to pay a $60 fee if you want to do that. Like, no,
in fact, it might be like, oh, it recognizes that you weren't in front of the Kinect when Captain Spike registered this game, so it will not let you play the game.
Again, that's a technology. That is a technology that exists that Microsoft has patents to do. It doesn't mean they're going to do it. It doesn't mean they're going to implement it.
But they might.
We are absolutely being, you know, sort of tinfoil hat on this, but...
Let's be fair.
It's
a lot
theoretically
of,
possible.
A lot of people on the internet.
A
lot of people on the internet are being tinfoil hat about Xbox.
No,
right
it's
now.
True. But again, I don't want to mix rumor with fact.
Oh no, for sure. I'm just saying
it is fact that we're going to have to register our games somehow, and that once a game is registered to your profile and console, that is the only circumstance under which it can be played without a new license being purchased. They have talked about how other profiles on the same console that the game is locked to will be able to access it. But again, that's on the same console, not like, oh, you loaned it out to someone you know and regularly game with. Or I could log on to your console with my profile and play my disc there, but then as soon as my profile is no longer on your console, you won't be able to play that disc again without paying the license fee. So, again, I don't even think this is necessarily awful, but It
sounds messy.
In a lot of ways for me, it is like a hybridization of sort of the weaknesses of the digital model and the weaknesses of the retail model. It's like expensive and unwieldy. Like the benefit is not really to the consumers, it's to the corporations. It's to the publishers, it is to the platform holder. This is not what can we do to make this platform work better to our consumers and get our consumers to give us more money. This is how can we give our consumer no other option other than to give us money. And that's my real problem on a fundamental level, is that this gives us nothing while taking away rights and privileges that I feel we already have with our purchases, which I believe are protected and defined by law, but you know, who knows. Since these are being treated now as selling licenses rather than selling games themselves. Ooh, girl. I need to take a drink. Say
you know,
something
that,
amusing.
I mean, that kind of amusing. Well, I was going to say something actually, like,
Useful. Then do that.
You know, I mean, that kind of makes me wonder, you know, we talked about digital, like, way back in the early days of Game Buoy, and, you know, if this is the type of direction it's headed in and it's so unwieldy, then why not go all digital in the first place? You know, I mean I'm sure that they have reasons. I'm sure that if we wanted to, we could talk about reasons for 20 minutes, but we're not going to. I'm just saying that, like you said, it's the negative points of both models in one. It's trying to be both things or something. I don't know, it's not good.
Yeah, well, let's move on. We have two more bullet points I want to cover here. Three more, I'm sorry, but all three are really fast. Gamer score and achievements will be carrying over. You'll be able to port your current Xbox Live account to your Xbox One, should you choose to buy one. And all of your gamer score and achievements will come over.
Oh, good. So that means all of my cute avatar costumes can come over too, right?
Unfortunately, your avatar and your purchased accessories for your avatar will not be coming over.
Does that mean there's no avatars at all?
We don't know the details yet. We just know that your avatar and avatar items will not be coming over. I'm not pleased because I've bought avatar clothes. Not much, but a couple bucks.
Me too.
There's also going to be no backwards compatibility for games, period. But all of your video, music, and non-game content will port over. So that's cool. Of course, this has to do with the change in processor architecture that they're doing. Backwards compatibility is one of those things that if things don't line up to do it right, it's really difficult to do. And they just don't have a system in place to do that.
At least PS4 has the Gaikai streaming cloud. I mean, even though we don't quite know the details of it, you know, they've expressed a commitment to try and bring that to gamers. Microsoft just seems to be like, no.
Yeah. Well, one of the sort of sticking points for me on this topic, and I just want to sort of quote it here, because this is something that Microsoft's Don Matrick said to the Wall Street Journal, is that if you're backwards compatible, you're really backwards. The implication being that serving the customers this way is not worth your time or your effort, because you should be moving forward with your tech. At least that's the implication I take from this, because it was given within the context of comparing the Xbox 360's Xeon processor with this new X86 Jaguar CPU that they're running.
Can you read that quote to me again?
If you're backwards compatible, you're really backwards.
I can't help but imagine that in like a bitchy high school girl voice. If you're backwards compatible, then you're just backwards.
The entire internet is reading this quote that way. And I hope everyone...
Sorry, not sorry.
Right? Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
You're welcome.
I think everyone on the internet read this quote that way, and deservedly so. Like, what an awful way to talk about a feature that many of your players base wanted. Like,
yeah, it's not even bitchy in an endearing way like Regina George or Sadie Sexton.
Yeah, well, exactly. This is just like, I have spent so much money on Xbox goods and services over the last 8 years. Any of them that are possible, I'd really like to continue using. And instead of even being, like, cool about it and being like, oh, we're really sorry, we're looking into it, but it's unlikely, it's just straight up, nope, LOL, have a snarky comeback response to that.
Maybe you should move into a better house and get a better job and have a better internet connection.
Yeah, right?
Sorry.
Like, I'm sorry, I am just not here for this snark. Like, I am here as a consumer, I'm here as a customer, I'm here as someone who has spent thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on your products in the last 8 years, and why the hell do you think that my valid concerns that in my opinion are valid, are to you worth only a simple joke? Like, I'm offended. This is awful. So, whatever. I think it's really rude. I thought it was really unpleasant, and that's why I wanted to talk about it here. Like, that is literally the attitude that Microsoft is taking toward the gamer base. Like, not even talking about, like, that, like, business stuff. Just straight, LOL, sorry, not sorry. Can you tell I'm mad? Can you tell I'm disappointed?
All I've been thinking is that it makes me think of, like, that YouTube series, The Most Popular Girls in School.
Ah!
And now I kind of want to do one with, like, the most popular girls in gaming.
Smelling my poops, bitches.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that's what the gaming industry is like now. It's like, sorry.
Let's see.
We might have to go pick up some, like, cheap Barbies and make a YouTube series now.
So, yeah, have fun buying Barbies, bro.
I will. Just like I had fun buying Barbie the game for NES way back in the early 90s.
I bet you did. Let's see. So another sticking point in the craws of many whom we here at GameBuoy Studios have befriended is that there's going to be no indie-specific marketplace or help for indies coming from Microsoft in developing for the Xbox
One. And we kind of saw the writing on the wall with the whole Fez drama back in the day.
Yeah, we really did. Basically, if you don't have publisher backing at this point, you should be looking elsewhere.
So if you're not popular enough to have a real publisher publish your game, then maybe you shouldn't be making games.
And
you're
welcome. And I just want to point out that Nintendo's indie programmer outreach director was even tweeting about how hazardous this outlook is for the entire market, because this doesn't help the games industry grow. There's currently very little in the terms of like mid-level sort of sub-AAA game development. That used to be a really healthy sector of development, and now
it's either indie
exist.
Or nothing. I mean, indie or triple A.
So we need, like, the publishers need the indies to grow and become studios that can live and helpfully produce
content. Where are we going to get our way forwards or?
Well, exactly. So.
Or our Double Fines.
And I think it says a whole lot that we are now living in an era where Sony and Nintendo do better independent outreach than Microsoft.
Well, I mean, think of Sony and that game company and how they fostered
exactly
that
so.
Company.
And now we have Nintendo working real closely with the folks behind, the Mutant Muds game, Renegade Kid, I'm sorry. We have, Nintendo showing up at GDC now and a lot of the independent games festivals giving out, like, free or super cheap dev kits, allowing indie folks now to publish without a publisher, to self-publish, that is.
Nintendo's always been real good to Gaijin games, too. I mean, I know that the Bit Trips available on other things, or just Wii?
Some of them were Wii exclusive, and some of them were on PC as well, and iOS and what have you.
But yeah, I mean, they've been very supportive.
Very supportive, and Nintendo has really made strides. Even last generation, they were still not super indie-friendly. But they have really turned it around. They brought, their current outreach for indie folks guy came from Microsoft, in fact, and helped them design the Xbox Live infrastructure in the first place. So I think it's just really telling that we now live in this era where Nintendo's the one that's like, come here and let us help you, and we will give you free dev stuff. We will give you this free Unity license to develop. Like, we just want to see y'all thrive and succeed so that the industry can grow.
Have creative voices.
And Microsoft is like, LOL, we're not here for you. Do you want to watch Halo TV series?
Yeah, so Nintendo's kind of like the, like, artsy kid
at
high school.
And Sony has been superb as well. I don't want this to seem like I'm going on a pro-Nintendo rant. It's just, Nintendo takes a lot of heat on this issue when, in fact, they are super, super, super progressive. Nintendo has done a complete turnaround from where they used to be on this topic.
Well, I mean, think of Nintendo in the 80s.
And they are now completely here to help indie developers on the marketplace. And it really upsets me that they have this really weird negative association, even though for years now that has no longer been the case.
But
Sony is also amazing. Again, Sony
similar,
is superb to indies.
Yeah. On a similar note to what you were talking about with Xbox Live, and now correct me if I'm wrong or if they've backpedaled or if there's just so much misinformation or confusion about it, but my understanding is that there will be no such thing as Xbox Live Arcade. And that might just be
It's just going to be Xbox One games.
And I mean, I guess that means that, like, some of them will be budget games at a lower price point, or maybe there'll be Windows 8 apps that you can also get on Windows 8.
I don't think we know enough yet to make assumptions on that point, but I don't foresee the pricing structure becoming that rigid on that specific point.
It's just going to be a little weird to see the current model change. I mean, maybe it will just be just by name only, but, I like the idea of, this is an Xbox Live Arcade game. It's just, it kind of has this whole,
it's fun.
It kind of just has a sense of being like, no, this is something different than your big bro game, so.
It's funny because
you kind of have to wonder if they're just trying to move away from that entirely.
I do agree. I think that they're trying to make all games just be Xbox One games. But I would really like to move the conversation forward because I just realized we've been talking about the Xbox One for nearly an hour, and that is...
For Xbox One hour?
That's like 50 minutes more than it deserves.
Yeah, so we spent about as much time talking about the Xbox One as they spent talking about TV and sports.
Yes, yes, exactly so.
Alright, so let's wrap this up. The last
side point there was that the next-gen Kinect will have a Windows version available in 2014. If you're into programming for that sort of thing or what have you, please look forward to it.
That's kind of cool, I mean, with all the possibilities that Kinect could do outside of gaming. But that said, I kind of just wonder if, at this point, why is Microsoft not just make, a Steam box? This is kind of like basically what it seems like the, Xbox One is. I mean, not a Steam box, literally, but, you know, it's like, oh, it's a TV box that also plays games. It's like, you know, if they're going to do that, why not just have it run Windows and make it a gaming PC? I mean, a lot of people, I think, are saying that, like, oh, the bridge between consoles and high-level gaming PCs is getting closer, you know, but I don't know. Like, I still think that there is a market for console gaming, and I just have to wonder if Microsoft is trying to move away from that. I mean, I don't know. This just did not feel like they were revealing a game console. It felt like a TV box that also plays Xbox games. Xbox One games only.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I'm just very disappointed.
You're wrapping it up, and that's good. So let me just ask you this. Do you currently plan on buying an Xbox One?
No.
What would change that?
You know, I tried to think of what exclusives I had that for the 360, and I can't even think of any games that I own for 360 that are Microsoft exclusive. I mean, aside from Halo 4, but, you know, I'm not that big on Halo that I must get the new Xbox One. Honestly, when I think back to it, I originally had a PS3 way back in the day before PS3 and I had our falling out. I ended up trading it in for a 360 because that's where all my friends were. You were on 360, Seawolf Jason was on 360, everybody was on 360, Pirate Ben, Space Pirate Ben was on 360. So, you know, I mean, if everybody I knew was going Xbox One to the point of not going PS4, and, you know, I mean, I also think that I care less about online gaming than I used to. Not that I don't care about it, or, you know, online multiplayer, but, you know, I just think that even if everyone was like, oh, we're not getting PS4, we're only getting Xbox One, I'll be like, okay, well, sorry, then, you know, I'm just going to be playing my PS4 over here on my Wii U. I think I've changed a lot in that regard, so I don't even think that if everyone went Xbox One, which I don't see happening, that it would be enough. I really don't know at this point what would be able to sell this for me.
Yeah, you know,
whether in terms of IP or whatever.
It's funny that you bring up Halo, because I thought about that. And, you know, I liked Halo 4 a lot. I've talked about it here on the show. I'm not normally a Halo fan, but I liked 4 a lot, actually. I was really surprised. Halo 5, though, that wouldn't be enough for me. I'm not currently getting an Xbox One. I'm currently looking at it. And let me just say, this can change. They could blow me out of the water and say that all of the unpleasant things we've talked about today are not true. And I would come a running in a heartbeat if it turned out that all of the things that we believe right now are false. The problem is that Microsoft put this event together to get us hyped. And in theory, I guess we're supposed to marinate in the hype for the next 20 days. Or, I'm sorry, for the 20 days between their reveal and their E3 conference. The problem, to me, as I see it, is that instead of getting hyped, we have all of this negativity, all of these ideas and sort of concepts that we don't agree with and don't like, and the direction that the platform is going in is not agreeable to us. And rather than clarify what's up or reach out to us and say, oh, no, this is actually how it is, y'all are worried about nothing, instead they basically just keep saying, please look forward to it. So instead, we have to go on are sort of these things that sound awful and 45 minutes of you talking about how the future of video games is watching TV. So, yeah. I could turn around if they go back on any of this. Like, if they go back on all this stuff, obviously, I'll still be interested. They haven't lost me forever, but they have lost me for this console if these issues that I have with it remain true. Because I had to think about it. If they had money-hatted something, like one of my favorite games in the entire world, if they had money-hatted Mirror's Edge 2, just as an aside, like they brought it to just them, no one else is going to get it, even that would probably not be enough for me with the issues that I have with the platform already. So this is probably going to be the first console since like the Jaguar that I go without. And that should tell you a lot about where I'm sitting and how I feel about this.
You know, I think I realize what might sell me. I don't even know. I think at this point, unless there was any IP that was just, like, so good that I had to take the leap, I'm going to hold out until they reveal more about Illumarum. And until that comes out, if it even comes out.
I keep forgetting about Illumarum because... It's a cool concept, but I still don't really believe that it's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, it will be someday, I'm sure.
Maybe. I mean, still, those projectors would cost a lot of money. It seems like a really weird tech to me.
Yeah, so, I mean, that should tell you when I plan on getting an Xbox One, is if Illumarum comes out. And that might not happen, so I'm probably not going to indulge.
Yeah. Well,
I say indulge as if the Xbox One is like something to be savored, which I don't think it is.
All right, let's move on to our next topic. Or to our next topic. Let's move on.
To our next segment.
To our next segment.
Rumor has it.
So this is actually a really fun rumor for all y'all today. We've talked a little bit about the controversy rising over Kevin Conroy not doing the voice of Batman in the Batman Arkham Origins prequel game that is going to be coming out later this year. But according to his Twitter, interestingly enough, he has announced that he will be in the new Arkham game coming soon. Just not Arkham Origins coming this fall. For those of you out there who frequently follow these sort of mishaps with announcements from voice actors, it seems very, very likely that the staff over at Rocksteady, I almost called them Bebop, is very hard at work on the next proper Batman Arkham game. Origins, of course, is not being developed by them, as we've talked about here on the show. I cannot help but think that we're looking at the new annual franchise for a little while, at least while they still sell. So please look forward to it. Kevin Conroy, the Batman voice of the generation, so to speak. And I mean that in terms of a generation of humans, not a generation of game consoles, because he's been doing this voice since the 90s. And he's done most of Batman's video game appearances. And I am with the vast legion of fans that think that the Batman voice actor for Arkham Origins does not sound super good. Moving on to let's talk a little bit about
I said hey, what's going on?
I'm going to be really quick with mine. After we did our drunk cast, I felt inspired to try and play some Choaniki, and I can see why it is Kusoge. It's not really well designed, but it's hilarious. So that's kind of why we included it on our kind of good. I also, to cleanse my palate, played some Jammerlammy, which I realized that I'm very out of practice with. I could not even...
Jammerlammy.
It took me a couple tries to get past Chop Chop Master Onion, and then I couldn't...
Chop Baby!
Where are you? I need you right now!
I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, we're not going to just recite every cinematic sequence from I'm Jammerlammy. But, I couldn't even get past the fire stage. I don't know what the actual song is called. I can't remember.
No. Start all over. You should be banned from every game.
I was going to start singing it, but I thought then we'd get it out of hand. So, yeah, so I apparently need to practice some I'm Jammerlammy.
You know,
I'm
really out of practice. I was playing that game this morning, and I got much further than you did. But...
Did you get to Chuck Wood?
I didn't. I did not get... Never use Cho Chin's chains for them, no! No, I noticed that the songs, because some of this stuff I could just play by memory, I was literally not looking at the screen, and I'm like, wait, why am I getting bad? Like, I used to get cool at this, like, every time. And then I was thinking about it, like, there's probably a lag issue that's probably
I kind of wondered, because I was also playing on PS3, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, HDTV, dog.
Yeah, so yeah, I know.
There's almost certainly some lag issues, and you know how the timing windows can be on these things. So.
Well, yeah, it's a Japanese rhythm game.
So, that's cool, yeah. I, just played Jammerlammy today, but most of my gaming time since it came out this week... I'm going to talk about what I've been playing now, because I think you finished.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good. This week, I have been playing Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D.
Was that supposed to be my DK noise?
The correct... thing to do when I'm talking about a game, a Donkey Kong game, and you want to troll me,
DK
Donkey Kong. So, I just want to say, you know, it's a real shame that I didn't play this game on Wii sooner, because I see people talking about it online from like years ago, and I was like, oh, lol, I'm not a huge fan of the Donkey Kong Country games, this isn't for me. But I'm playing through it now, the 3DS port, and it's blowing me away with its level design. Like, I'm to, like, the third world now, and I've already seen some of the best instances of 2D level design that I've seen in the last 20 years. Of course, I'm the kind of guy who has to find everything before I move forward to another level. So I've already done, like, the first couple of, like, K stages. If you're familiar with the game, you know what I'm talking about. Oh my god, Platform Panic. What kind of masochist fuck made this design this level?
So it's just up
pardon
your alley.
My French, but yeah, no.
And I assume you're not playing on noob mode.
I'm not. I'm happy noob mode exists. I think it definitely has a place for people who need that kind of help. You know, hashtag changing role of challenging games. But for me, I like a challenge. I really like it hard. And
I bet you do.
Oh, girl, and not even like that. I mean, also like that, but not that's not what I meant.
But not from DK.
Donkey Kong. No, not from DK. So, great game. Really enjoying it. If you have a 3DS, I implore you to look it over. Also working on my Final Fantasy Tactics game that I talked about starting last week. Got to the Wygraph battle, and even though I'm over-leveled, I still died because he's awful. So I put it down and have only been playing Donkey Kong ever since. I think that's actually it for my week in what I've been playing and what's up. Do you want to talk about our social links? Because I think it's that time.
We've got to move on to these social links because we've got a lot of feedback, of
Yay.
Course, on this controversial issue. Our question of the week was, this week we saw what Microsoft has in store for the future of the Xbox. What do you think? Getting one? What software looks good to you? Now, Captain Spike wrote out our question before we... saw this, and we didn't want to alter it as to influence people's answers. So, you heard what we had to say. Here's what the listeners had to say. That is, all of you. Renee from Koopa Club said, for myself, I'm not sure of getting an Xbox One or not. The announcement focused on the tech specs of the system and its multimedia capacities, like watching TV on your TV. Well, wonders never cease. The couple of games they did show didn't hold my interest, though they did look excellent. I guess I'll have a better idea when E3 comes around, when I suspect Microsoft will reveal some more software details.
And I want to interject here. Renee is absolutely right. They will be showing games at E3. They've said that several times.
His answer is a lot more diplomatic than ours.
It really was. I agree with everything Renee just said. And he's quite right. They are going to be announcing more games at E3. My problem is that they didn't say that this wasn't a games event until just like the Friday or Thursday before the event. Like, prior to that, we all thought we was getting games because we got games at the Sony event and we thought that was great. Like, the whole gaming world, basically. So it's just really disheartening. Sort of at the 0 hour to hear from Microsoft, like, oh, hey, guys, by the way, this is just part one of a two-part reveal. Part two's at E3, and that'll be the games. Like, yeah. No, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. We got a tweet from Twitter user Fox Van Allen.
Renee also had asked a question about backwards compatibility.
Oh, you're right. He did say he didn't remember any mentioning of backwards compatibility to at least play 360 games. And...
We discussed that a little bit earlier on this episode. Unfortunately, they think that you're backwards for wanting that.
Sorry, Renee. They think you're backwards. But that's not what we think. That's just what they think.
I'm not quite sure why Slagkick is doing that voice, because he's making it sound facetiously like we actually do think you're backwards, and we don't. We're on your side on this. It really irritates me that I won't be able to play my copy of Bayonetta on Xbox One. So... Nintendo better get a port of Bayonetta over to the Wii U.
Even better, it could be on disc with Bayonetta 2.
Yay!
So, Twitter user Fox Van Allen, also known as gaming journalist extraordinaire Fox Van Allen.
Fox Van Allen!
Said, F that DRM nonsense.
I like you.
Speaking of charming and handsome people, Nintendug on Twitter said, not interested, happy sticking by Wii U because I know it's not watching me while I sleep. That's right, I'm the only one who's allowed to watch Nintendug while he sleeps.
Hashtag stop objectifying Doug. The thing is, I actually think that's a really valid concern, even though I don't really think that the Xbox is going to be doing all of these Orwellian things that people are afraid of. Like, okay, it can track your face, it can track your emotions by the look on your face, it can track your heartbeat. The more I say these things, the more sinister they sound. But it's, you know, aside from the whole patent that Microsoft has with regards to who's viewing what and tracking you in your home to see what you're sort of doing, I don't actually think the Xbox will be watching people sleep is the long and short of it. That having been said, I assume that you're being a little bit facetious and you hate that they are going to be doing all of these awful things that their patents allude to. And in that case, I support and agree with you. They sound sinister and gross.
Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio said, I'm not making a decision until after E3. Probably a wise
That is a point well, of view. A well-reasoned and rational viewpoint, and we will have none of it on the SS Game Buoy this week.
They did a special emergency OLR just a couple days ago. They're usually on Sundays live, but they did a Thursday episode because of all of this kerfuffle over the Xbox One. So we recommend you go check out what they have to say if you want to hear more about what Rob has to say. All right. And that was also a little bit of a shout-out. Dan D said, first of all, and linked us to the Xbox branding thing we alluded to earlier.
Because we said it as Xbox incorrectly.
We did X hyphen box. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We should be talking about the X1, not the X-Bone.
The X-1? You said
I'm being facetious. You're awful.
Obviously, it was tongue-in-cheek, because Captain Spike replied, we are going to do all of those things.
And I believe we have.
And we did. And then he said, yes. And then he actually did give us an answer to our question of the week. It was kind of an answer for Crystal H, too, who I should actually say is now Crystal D, which is not to be confused with Crystal Dynamics. Congratulations on your beautiful marriage.
We love you, FYI.
So they kind of had a couple's husband and wife answer. Too early to tell for us. Strongly considering sitting out this generation, at least until the price drops. Is that damn Call of Duty dog playing with a squeaky toy again?
It's me, but I'll stop.
E3 will decide. So I thought it was interesting that Dan and Crystal thought they might sit out the entire generation.
I think it's more interesting because I factually know they have a Wii U. Y'all already in the generation. Don't believe the hype.
And our last answer to the question of the week is from Twitter user ChristerBunny. He says, only if Quantum Break is a launch title. I'm fucked because PS4 has Final Fantasy 15 and Xbone has Remedy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Final Fantasy 15 really does end up being exclusive to any platform. Obviously, Sony would have to be kicking back a lot of money to Square Enix to sort of limit their audience that way. But again, you know, it
either
has
that
been...
or, you know, Square Enix has turned their back on hardware developers before, see Nintendo. So if they were really against some of the things that Microsoft's doing with the Xbone, they might be like, nope, we're not going to do it.
If you were to ask me if I thought Square Enix gave a shit about its users, I would tell you no. That remains the case.
I'm not saying because of what of the users, but I'm saying if they have some other issues with Xbone.
I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. I misinterpreted how you were implying that. Quantum Break, I still don't get it. I go back to the PS1 days and play Capcom's live action gameplay hybrid Fox Hunt. You'll probably
Fox
be just
Ben
as good. Oh my god, who would hunt Fox? He's awesome.
No, I mean like hunting like, ooh, we're gonna find that Fox Van Allen. Hey.
Oh, hey. That would be an agreeable Fox Hunt.
So, thank you, Grister Bunny, for your feedback. We'd love to hear more about what was appealing about Quantum Break for you.
I would love to hear more about Quantum Break from someone who's enthusiastic about it, because again, as I've said several times this episode, I like the guys at Remedy a lot. I really like their work, and whatever magic they have I wasn't feeling it from that trailer.
Yeah, you know, maybe we're just a little pessimistic, and Grister Bunny's a little more optimistic.
That's great. Actually, I'm a huge fan of optimism. I usually try to be very optimistic on this program. I'm just having a really hard time of it with the X1.
Yeah. So thank you to all of those answers to our question of the week.
Thank you. We love you.
We have some general feedback. We got a lot of people hollering at us today.
Woot!
Dan D, again, commented over on GameBuoy.org, where you can make your own user account and leave a comment right on our page.
Should do that sometime.
I think you actually do have an account. I made you one back in the day.
Yeah, well, I didn't make me one.
Okay, then. So Dan D commented on our fighting game episode. He said, wonderful episode. Seawolf Jason was a great addition to the show. Quite a few fighting game series I forgot that I had even played. Great to have those memories emerge from the discussion. That's awesome, and I agree. Seawolf Jason was a great addition to our show, and I can't wait to have him back for our four-way fighting follow-up episode.
Four-way fighting follow-up.
Follow-up fighting four-way. Jeremy from Koopa Club commented on Facebook. It was a belated answer to our question of the week from last time, but certainly welcome. He said the fairly inept LJN Friday the 13th Nightmare on Elm Street games are tons of fun, IMO.
I definitely agree. We discussed it last week. Definitely agree. You are a wise man, Jeremy.
And very similar to some of the things we talked about, he said the worst game I've ever played just might be a three-way tie between Bible Adventures, Deadly Towers, and Hydlide.
Hydlide, that is one of the worst games I've played in my entire life. Also, Deadly Towers, definitely Kuso. But I spent a lot of time playing that game and just trying to even figure it out. So I kind of secretly like it, even though it's awful. I don't even secretly like Hydlide. That shit was crap. It is awful. Awful, awful crap. Awful, awful, crap, crap, crap.
Okay. Now that you've made yourself sound like a Kotaku journalist.
Now I'm going to do my hands in little velociraptor claws and continue saying crap like a dinosaur.
No, you're not, because...
No, I'm done. I'm
you're going to get slapped. It is your turn to get slapped. We still have more feedback. Maddie M. from California left a comment on Facebook in regards to the episode we just posted a few days ago, our shit games episode. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that Jeremy's was for the fighting games question of the week? Because if so, I didn't mean that.
I think that Jeremy's was pretty clearly about Kusoge.
Yes, it was. So it was a... I'm sorry. It's we're getting a little bit boned by the X-Bone here.
Whoa, I'm not getting boned by anything right now.
No, not boned in the good way. So, Maddie M. commented on our Shit Games episode, drunk shows are always the best shows. Well, hopefully we didn't let you down.
I definitely agree with that. I'm not drunk right now, but I kind of wish I were, because now my throat hurts from sounding like
a dinosaur. Well, yeah, and we might have needed to have some beers to talk about the X-Bone.
Yeah. Yeah, the X-1.
Nintendug left a tweet at us, tweeted at us, saying, y'all need to stop hating on Nabbit or you're going to lose a listener.
Literally the saddest moment of my life when I read that tweet. Like, I was like Sylvia Plath or something. I had like...
Don't go cook yourself in an oven.
Yeah, the oven was open and my head was in. It wasn't...
No.
Just gas was coming out, though. It wasn't turned on. Like, the heat wasn't on. So I wasn't going to get cooked. I was going to get asphyxiated.
That's really morbid. We're going to move on. Nintendug also tweeted at us asking, dear God, what beer were you drinking? Seriously, I'm curious. And so Captain Spike wrote back and said, oh, we were drinking Dos Equis. And then he said, I actually had an ulterior motive when I asked what you were drinking. And he made us more fan art.
I adore Nintendug's fan art. It's so good.
It's a little drunk Game Boy. That should be our mascot. We should name him like GB or something. It's our Game Boy mascot. Hopefully you're okay with that, Doug. It's really cute, and it has little Game Boy carts of Dos Equis laying all over the ground, and with quotes from our episode. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was really just absolutely pleased as punch. Really impressed. It's just so cool. Y'all need to check it out.
We will link that to you on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And last but certainly not least, Twitter user KataroE37 tweeted at us saying, listened to my first Game Buoy yesterday, was enjoying it, but then a slight reference to Wonder Shows and made me know to stay.
That is awesome. And also, KataroE37, I don't know who you are, but thank you for listening. I hope that we continue to amuse you. I like Wonder Shows in a lot, by the way.
And what I have to say to that is, all aboard the hot dog highway, beep beep. With that, I want to swim in the meat pulley. It's the dark nature of capitalism. And with that, it's time for us to jump in the meat pulley and hit the hot dog highway ourselves. We love your feedback. We love your iTunes ratings and reviews and subscriptions. We like your Facebook likes, and we fucking love Twitter.
We love Twitter.
Our Facebook and Twitter, as well as our Tumblr and Google Plus, can all be found over at GameBuoy.org, our home base.
GameBuoy.org.
Ooh, that sounded a little Game Buoy after dark. I know that.
No, it's my.
From your ranting and raving about the X-Bone, I know.
Yeah.
You can find those social links all over at GameBuoy.org, which just got
GameBuoy.org.
You don't need to do that. It's okay.
After dark.
You don't need to do that. It's not after dark right now. GameBuoy.org just got another makeover, so enjoy it. Also, we added a few tweaks to GameBuoy.org mobile, so if you are someone who accesses our site on your mobile phone, you may notice a few additions, so look forward to it.
Please look forward.
Would you like me to do your shout-outs? You sound like you've got no voice.
I want to do them super bad. I feel like I sound like Lindsay from Arrested Development.
I thought you were going to say Lindsay Lohan.
In the Shimale episode.
Okay, yeah, or Lindsay Lohan. Or Amanda Bynes after tossing a face out of the window.
Just think about it. By the time people listen to this episode, we will have seen the new season of Arrested Development. That's tomorrow.
Yes. Okay, let's move on.
I'm doing gay flappy hands right now. As ever and always, if you like what we do, you should definitely check out Koopa Club. We have talked about them several times in this episode already. They are super great. We love what they do. And please look forward to upcoming crossover events with them.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about that for me?
So, do you want to give your other...
Also to Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom we take ever so many of our cues.
Unfortunately, one gamer here does not have much of a voice at this point.
Rude.
We'd like to shout out to Game Bar, the podcast that fills your brain space.
I want to take you to a game bar.
That fills your brain space with hours of video, gay video game commentary, emphasis on gay. And we are happy to announce that our friends from Koopa Club, Orange Lounge Radio, and Game Bar will be joining us on the officially approved Podcast Cross Zone channel at Gamer X, August 3rd and 4th in San Francisco.
Podcast Cross Zone, baby.
So we're looking forward to that. And we'd like to thank the folks out there who voted for us, as well as the team at Gamer X for, you know, allowing us to have that panel anyway, because they could have been like, nope, even though you got votes, nope, because you're terrible. We're not that terrible.
Luckily, we're not that terrible.
We're just a little vulgar.
A little terrible.
We're very vulgar.
We're not huge fans of the X-Bone, so we're a little terrible today. But we generally try to be good.
The Nerdgasm Network is the wildest 5 hours of sexy shock jock video game radio that you'll ever come across. This next one, I'm used to saying a certain way, and I'm going to have to get used to saying it a different way, because this podcast is now just known as Horde House, the place for online game... How are they saying it now? The place for online gaming news, but never too seriously. See, the best little Horde House in Azeroth used to be one of our most favorite World of Warcraft podcasts, and now they've switched formats to just being an online gaming, including Warcraft. I'm sorry, so they are, it's the show about all things online gaming, but never too seriously. I had to load up their site. So they are now just Horde House and talking about all MMOs. So we're awesome. That'll be awesome to hear them talk about Final Fantasy XIV and other stuff.
And Shin Megami Tensei, Imagine.
I don't know if they'll talk about that. That's kind of a game buoy
title. They better.
That's a game buoy title.
Y'all are on notice.
Uh-oh. And two more for you. We're getting a little bit loopy here. Girls Gone WoW is still just an all-WoW show. And a mostly all-girl show. It's where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO, even though it lost a couple million subscribers. I still have fond memories of that game. So, you know, more power to them for keep on trucking. And last but not least, Video Game Outsiders. Really? Keep on trucking down the hot dog highway. And Video Game Outsiders is the podcast about video gaming from the average player's perspective. But we think they're above average. And this will probably be one of the last times we shout out to these guys over at Zelda Reorchestrated, because sadly, they're closing their doors on June 12th. As we talked about before, they're going to be shutting down because basically they got pirated to heck, and usually we're in support of pirates, but not pirating. So, you know, please go check them out. If you really love what they do, you love our theme music, just throw some money in their PayPal, and they'll probably appreciate it. And with that, any final thoughts, Captain Spike?
I'm pretty disappointed about the X1 phone cross little uppercase X dash B.
Captain Spike is malfunctioning over here, so...
No, I'm just trying to think of every permutation that Microsoft style guide indicated not to use when referring to the Xbox One. My final thought for the week is just that I'm really disappointed in the Xbox One. I'm really, really disappointed.
Well, thank you again for joining us, and as always, keep gaming, keep thinking, and see you, Space Cowboy.
No, you don't get to do that. Stop. So, thank you all for listening. As always, we love each and every one of you. Please do give us feedback at the previously stated places that we asked for it from. Keep thinking, keep gaming, and see you, Space Samurai. Thank you.
Oh my god, my throat hurts so bad.
That's why I was trying to do it for you.
And
be
I appreciate
nice.
That, but it's my whole shtick. I get a lot of self-gratification out of doing that.
I don't want to hear about your self-gratification.
That's our bonus. That's our bonus, that right
That's
there.
Our ex-bonus. That's our ex-bone.
That's our ex-bonus.
Ex-boners. Ex-bonus sounds like ex-boners.